Good morning, family. Man, what a day yesterday. God was glorified. And I want to thank all of you who participated and gave and served yesterday, especially for those who spent the day on Thursday and on Saturday organizing and sorting all the clothes. The amazing thing was the line was out to the street before 10 o'clock. We had over 930 people the first hour that came through. And the most amazing thing that I thought was so encouraging was all these churches were working together in the name of Jesus. And it was so powerful to see everybody working together in a spirit of love and just wanting to make God look good. And God honored it. By the end of the day, it was over 2,300 people. I don't think anybody had a final count. But it was an amazing time yesterday. And we got to give God glory and thanksgiving. Let's give the Lord a round of applause for yesterday. God did some amazing things yesterday. And I believe the seeds were planted for next year. And the seeds were of love and kindness were planted in people's hearts. Next year, there's already plans for a tractor trailer truck full of groceries called Convoy of Hope. It's a ministry that's helps and goes city to city all over the world. They do great, really great stuff in the name of God. And they're going to be with us next year. And it's already being planned, and it's going to be even bigger next year. God is going to do even greater things next year. So let's be praying about that event. You go ahead and start, Ken. Next week, we are going to be talking about divorce and remarriage. And I know for most of us, we have experienced that in our lives in one way or the other. We've been affected by it. And I want to assure you next week that next week is a message to encourage, it's to find hope, and it's to really to clear up some really gross misunderstandings people have, that the churches of Christ especially have had, about divorce and remarriage that I think needs to be said. And I don't want people to avoid coming. Feeling they're going to get hurt, or they're going to bring up old bones or something they don't want to talk about. Listen, there are things a lot of times God wants us to help us deal with so that we can heal and we can move on with our lives. Amen? And a lot of times we have to talk about difficult topics. And I'm willing to talk about it. And I think it's important that we come listening to God's word, but also listening to his heart. And that's what the emphasis is going to be more on next week, is how does God feel about this, and how can we heal from it? How can we find redemption and hope and move on with our lives? So I want you to understand next week is a difficult topic, but I think we'll walk away from it being encouraged and have hope from it as well. Would you like the secret for a no-stress life? Come on, do you want to know it? I'm not going to tell you for a minute. Every one of us has stress. I mean, you can't avoid having it, okay? The secret is learning how to manage it and not letting stress rule your life. You ready for the secret? It's awfully simple. Do not be anxious about anything. Anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, that is what we are seeking in our lives. We all want peace. The peace of God, it's not going to come from a Starbucks coffee. It's not going to come from a chocolate pie. It is going to come from the God of heaven who will give you peace that you're seeking for. It transcends all understanding. You can't explain it. You can't say to your friend, well, I had, you know. People are going to notice and say, wow, you're awfully peaceful right now about this situation. Why? Because of God. It will guard your heart and your mind. Very important to guard both of those, because that is the wellspring of life where we make all of our decisions. There it is. Is that all there is? Come on, there's no formula, no 1, 2, 3. There it is. It's prayer. And some of us, I know some of you are going, oh man, is that it? Yeah. Aren't you glad it's simple? Here's Beth Moore's paraphrase, and I think if you want to continue warring in your life, this is what you need to do, okay? Let's take that Philippians 4 passage. Do not be calm about anything, but in everything by dwelling on it, constantly feeling picked on by God with thoughts like, and this is the thanks I get. Present your aggravations to everyone you know about God, but God. And the acid in your stomach, which transcends all milk products, will cause you an ulcer, and the doctor bills will cause you a heart attack, and you will lose your mind. If you want to worry, go right ahead. That's your prescription. Go from 2 Opinions chapter 5. You're welcome to do that. God doesn't want you to worry. You want to know why? Because it makes you very unproductive. Because 90% of the stuff that we worry about is stuff that we have absolutely no control over. What is the purpose of prayer? Why do we talk to God? Let's talk about three practical things we can do as well. And I think it begins with saying, God, teach me. Prayer is not something you get out of a book. Don't go buy any books on prayer, okay? Do it. Experience it. We learn by doing. Sometimes we just have to get ourselves out of the prayer rut we all struggle with. So let's pray together as we begin. Father, we are so awed at what you did yesterday in our city. We give you 100% glory for all the good things that happened, and we pray for all the seeds of love and the seeds of kindness that were planted in people's hearts that they will come to know your love. And will you send someone to water, Father? Send people to water the seeds that were planted in people's hearts yesterday. And I pray, Father, today, and even for next year, for this event that's going to happen again, I pray your Spirit will guide the whole thing, and you will be honored and praised. And I pray today, Father, that you will teach us how to pray. Lord, teach us to understand the importance of how you feel about prayer in our lives. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Recent study found that for most Christians, we spend 10 minutes a day in prayer. This might include missionaries and ministers as well. Because you know what the problem among most ministers and missionaries is, don't you? And I learned this having gone to a missionary conference in Sao Paulo, Brazil, where all the missionaries stood saying, my problem is I am too busy and I don't spend enough time with God. Isn't that amazing? Missionaries, ministers, struggling with the very same thing that everyone struggles with. As we continue our thoughts in the Sermon on the Mount, last week we talked about doing our acts of righteousness before men. God wants us to do things in secret. So now he comes to this idea of our acts of righteousness going to prayer. And he says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Jesus is not talking for us today about praying in public. This is not what he's talking about here. It's okay to pray in public. It's okay to pray on behalf of a congregation as long as your heart and your motives are right. Not to be seen, and that's an important thing. Truly I tell you, he says, they have received the reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. It's interesting, and we have to ask ourselves, where is my prayer closet? Where is your place to pray? Do you have a place? Maybe it's your car. Maybe it's when you stroll in the morning, you take a walk, and this is your time with God. I want to encourage you, if you do not have a prayer closet, to get one. Because just as soon as you can snap a finger, people are going to start demanding things from you of the day. And I think it's important for all of us to have a place, if it's in your car, wherever. We all need a place where we can be quiet, we can listen to God, we can speak with God. And notice how he says, that it's God will reward us. It's an interesting passage. When you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans. I think what he's talking there is about the continuous, repetitious, same thing over and over and over again to try to somehow manipulate and get God to do something that we want him to do. Jesus says, don't do that. Don't try to manipulate God to make you do something, make him do something you want him to do. Because your Father knows what you need before you ask him. If God already knows everything we need, why do I have to ask? I mean, what's the point of me doing that? Well, a lot of us here are parents, and we all understand that when we see our child struggling, the most frustrating thing we can see as a parent is what? When you see your child struggling with something and you want to desperately talk with them about it, but they don't want to talk about it. Isn't that frustrating? How do you think God feels? God wants us to come to him and talk to him. God cares about your day. He cares about what is going on in your life. He cares about the decisions that you're going to be making today. It matters to him where you go. It matters to him what you say. The creator of the universe cares about your life. Every part of it, every detail. And he wants you to share it with him. I think what frustrates God is when we act like God doesn't exist and we just use him as a Santa Claus, you know, fix this problem, give me some gifts, you know. Instead of going to him and saying, Daddy, I need you. I need to spend time with you. I'm struggling. I'm frustrated. That is the kind of prayer God likes because we're real and honest before him. How much we pray shows how much we depend on God. Do we really need him? Do you need him in your life? Or is he a cha-ching God? You know, cha-ching, I get this, cha-ching, I get that. What kind of God do you serve? Our God is a God of relationship. He wants us to spend time with him. So what is the purpose of prayer? Let's talk about it. And I'd like everybody to stand as we read this together. As we honor God's word together, we stand. Jesus says, this then is how you should pray. Talk with me now, come on. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You may be seated. That is a 53-word masterpiece. Everything that a human being needs in 53 words. That is a masterpiece of words. It's easy to remember. It's easy to think through. Most of us know it by heart. Now, Jesus is not saying that we need to recite this daily as a ritual. You know, some churches, they do it every week and it's just part of the ritual. That's fine as long as you're doing it from your heart. But when it becomes a ritual, you just kind of run through the motions, you've lost the meaning of and the purpose of it. Jesus is showing us how to pray by these powerful words. Our Father. It's interesting that the ultimate purpose in prayer is to fellowship with God. And God wants you to call him Father. You know, you think... Some people would think, well, we got to call God, you know, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-holy, righteous and perfect God. We got to get the words out. We got to get the words perfect. Jesus is saying, no. He's our Father. It's a unity thing. He's your dad. He's my dad. Aramaic means, Father means daddy. Abba, Father. That's relationship. That is warm. That is personal. It's not some distant, aloof God that doesn't care about your life, that you have to appease. It is a God who walks with you daily. who knows your struggles, who knows exactly what you're going through right now. That is the ultimate purpose in prayer, is to fellowship with God, who we are created to have relationship with. And that's a difficult word for a lot of people. We had bad fathers growing up, for some of us. And it's hard for us to associate God as a good father, as a father who has my best interest at heart, who deeply loves me. So I want you to look at God not as your earthly dad, but as a father who has compassion for you, who will not fail you, who will love you no matter what. Our Father, hallowed be your name. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. And another purpose of prayer besides having fellowship with God is to worship. It's to worship Him. That's what the word hallowed means. It's the idea of worship. And it's interesting in Jewish thought, and Jewish people in the first century especially, parents would choose out a name that represented their child. And for a lot of us, we've chosen names for our children where we hope and pray that is what represents our child, a character that we want to see in our children. Well, the name of God, Yahweh, is a holy name. It means all that God is, His character, His plan, His will. Literally, the name means He who causes things to be. That's what the name means. But it's a holy and revered name. When scribes were copying copies of the Old Testament, they would, when they came to the name Yahweh, they would stop what they were doing and they would offer a sacrifice because they considered the name of the Lord so holy and so righteous that they didn't want to, you know, they respected it. And how many of us today disrespect God's name in our culture, using it as a curse word, vulgarity, however you want to put it? That's why He said, don't take my name in vain. Because the name of the Lord, it represents all He is. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. A lot of us struggle at this point. We don't understand the word kingdom. Kingdom means God's reign, His sovereign rule over the entire universe. It is not the church, okay? Kingdom is not the church. Kingdom is God's reign in people's lives. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you in Luke 17, and He says, so if you have a bunch of people in the same room together that have the reign of God in their lives, you have a church. But the kingdom alone by itself is not the church. The kingdom is the reign of God. And what has happened in our world, and since the time of Adam and Eve, we've given the reign of the world over to Satan. So Jesus is saying, you know, we need to be about kingdom business, bringing the sovereign rule of God into other people's lives. In other words, reaching the lost. That is the purpose of the church. That is the only purpose of the church, is to reach lost people. That's what we need to be about. So, your will be done on earth as your kingdom come. May your reign come to my community, my house. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In a real simple way, that simply means prayer is to not get what we want, but to let God change our hearts so that His ways become my ways. Your will be done on earth as it is. I pray, Lord, that your will be done here in Manchester, in my community, just as it is in heaven. People will accept your ways. They will become your ways, Father. In other words, surrender. That's another purpose of prayer. That God's reign will come to a place, but also people will say, well, I want to make God's way my way now. I want to follow God. I want His will for my life. And it's interesting, these 53 words, the 20 words in this prayer have to do with the glory of God, and that's roughly a quarter of your time in prayer. 33 words, and there's a typo there in the outline, I apologize for it. 33 words have to do with our needs and our intercession, okay? So it gives you kind of a ratio. We should be spending time glorifying and thanking God for who He is, not spending so much time about all of our needs and all the problems. spend time with the Lord, talking to the Lord. Now he continues, give us this day our daily bread. What is daily bread? Well, daily bread represents all of your needs, your necessities, your material needs, your physical needs. Food, bread, water, clothing, all those things have to do with daily bread. And this is where the idea of worrying and stress come in for a lot of us. We worry about finances. We worry about, where am I going to get this and where am I going to get... God is saying, stay into the day. That's a great advice, by the way, when I used to go to AA and visit. I love AA because the people there, number one, are real. Everyone's an alcoholic. Everyone's struggling. And secondly, they say this phrase over and over and over again, stay into today. That's good advice. Because we worry about junk that we have no control over, worry about the future, worry about this. Stay into today. Give us this day our daily bread, Father. Focus on what we have. So another purpose of prayer is to remind myself, I got to depend on God. I got to depend on God to meet my daily needs. So give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Now we get to an issue for most of us that we struggle with, and that's the idea of forgiveness. Forgiveness towards ourselves, forgiveness towards others. So another purpose of prayer, and we'll look at this topic in a few weeks. I want to look at unforgiveness, and I want to look at bitterness and why we struggle with forgiving others. And we're going to talk about how to forgive that person I can't forgive. We're going to talk about that. But another purpose of prayer is to remind ourselves of our need for forgiveness and to restore those broken relationships. We'll talk more about that in a few weeks. Lead us not into temptation. Wait a minute, I thought God doesn't tempt anybody. Yeah, you're right. James 1 says he doesn't tempt anybody. That's correct. What does that mean, lead us not into temptation then? It means if the opportunity to sin comes today, give me the strength and the power to resist. That's what it means. If the opportunity presents itself today, Lord, lead me not into temptation. Help me not do it. Help me not take the donut as the dog there is struggling with. Because we all face temptations every day. We need strength from the Father. We can't do it on our own. And this is what's reminding about this. Can you click it, Ken? I guess the battery went. This reminds me of another purpose of prayer. It's to remind myself I can't do it on my own. I can't do it in my own strength. John 15:5, one of my favorite verses, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Zip, nada. We need God to strengthen us. And that's another purpose of prayer. Deliver us from the evil one. I think Satan is a forgotten commodity. I think for a lot of us, some of us don't even believe in him. They did a research recently, Barna Poll did a research. 43% of Christians, born-again Christians in America, think Satan is a symbol of evil. He's not a real being. Well, I got news for you. That's not what the Scripture teaches. We need power. We need deliverance from the evil one. Because we can't fight him on our own. The good news, though, and that's to remind us, I think, we're at war. But to remind us that God has already defeated Satan at the cross. Jesus has overcome him. The resurrection of Christ. He has overcome. Satan's defeated. The game is over. Okay, now we're in the fourth quarter and we've already won the game. But we got to hold on because there's still going to be some casualties. There's still going to be some people hurt. He can still bother me from time to time. But he is defeated and he knows this. His time is short in Revelation, we learn. The next time the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his what? His future. Revelation 20:10. That's his future. So we're on the winning side. So This prayer is awesome. It covers all of the basics of people's needs, material, spiritual, moral. We all, and it's beautiful. The words are just simply beautiful. They're a masterpiece. So what three practical things can we do to improve our prayer life? What three things? Real simple. Keep it simple. Or we could say kiss. Keep it simple, stupid. Keep it simple. You don't have to get out and say all the right things. You can just talk to God and walk with Him and talk to Him in your car. Be real before Him and say, you know, Lord, I'm struggling. I'm having problems. I'm dealing with all that. I guess unload on Him. David says in Psalm 62, verse 8, pour your heart out to Him. That's literally letting it all out and sharing what is going on in your heart. Keeping it simple. I like to use the word facts and say, we start with faith. We say, yes, Lord, I know You're listening to my prayer. I know You're here with me. I trust You. And I want to adore Him. I want to spend some time in adoration. I want to spend some time praising Him. I want to spend some time in confession. Say, Lord, I've messed up this day. This week I've been really, you know, had a real impatient spirit. And then I want to enter a period of thanksgiving where I thank Him for what He's doing in my life. And then, of course, supplication, where we talk about our needs, intercede for others. Those are the things that keep it simple. But we make prayer too difficult. So a lot of us don't want to fool with it. It's not. Talk. Talk to Him. Can't go ahead. Okay. Secondly, keep it real. Sarah, look at the picture. She loves that picture. Keep it real. Do I have to explain what that's about? We all get in prayer ruts where we say the same thing over and over and over again. You know, when you get into that mode, I think it's important to say this to God. You know, Lord, I'm really not in the mood to pray right now. I'm really tired. I love You. I need You. But I just don't want to just give out a bunch of words that are not from my heart. That's an honorable prayer. I'd rather tell somebody, you know, I'm just not really, than to give them a bunch of flowery words that I really don't mean. Keep it real. Keep it real between you and God. And lastly, keep it daily. This is where we struggle. We all struggle in this area. If you have to pencil God in your agenda from 8 to 9, pencil Him in. Make time for the Lord. As soon as you get out of the bed in the morning, Lord, thank You for this day. I love You. I worship You. Spirit, I invite You into my day. Walk with me this day. Whatever you have to do to keep it daily. Keep it that way. So, what is the purpose of prayer? It's to fellowship with the Father. It is to worship. Another purpose is to pray for the lost and ask what we can do for God today. To surrender our ways so that our ways become God's ways. To depend on God for everything. To forgive us, to help us to forgive others. The opportunity to sin presents itself. Lord, give me the strength to resist. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from the evil one. That's the purpose of prayer. So we all have stress. The issue is, what are we going to do with it? We got to keep it simple and keep it real and keep it daily. Let's pray together. Father, I confess that I get distracted. And you and I don't talk much some days. And I just ask Your forgiveness for that. Help all of us, Father, to practice what we preach. To remind ourselves that the most important thing we can do today is to love You. To spend time with You. Before I do anything else. Or if not, sometime during the day to make time in our prayer closet for You. Help us, Father, and teach us. And draw us to Yourself. Remind us through Your Holy Spirit when we are distracted and when we worry and when we get stressed out. Remind us, Lord, that the most important thing we could do is talk to You and surrender the issue to You. We love You and worship You this day. In Jesus' name, amen.